Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Man, 2 Kings chapter number 2, and whenever you find your place, you can stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Please pray for us tonight, pray for me tomorrow night, and I'm excited about preaching there at Thanks to Calvary. I said this out around the altar a while ago, pray for Brother Austin this Friday night. He'll be getting married, amen, and I'm excited about that. He said amen to that. I ain't never heard him say that amen that loud. 5 years from now, he might not be saying amen that loud, but no, I'm just picking, and I'm excited for him and Miss Joanne, amen. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do with them in the days to come, and I've enjoyed spending some time with them over the past few weeks, and looking forward to doing their wedding on Friday night, and I'm happy for them, amen. 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2, and I say this, and I don't know, when's that podcast coming out by Miss Emily Rain? It's a couple more weeks. Miss Emily Rain's doing a podcast on that, podcast that the ladies has got, and it's really directed to single ladies on being patient for the right mate or something other like it. That's probably not the name of it, but y'all get the gist of it, amen? And just because you're 18 or 19 and you're not married, that it's okay, all right? And that'll be a good podcast that some of you young ladies will want to listen to, amen? 2 Kings chapter number 2, look with me in verse number 8. The Bible said, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the house, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, meet every need of the service tonight. Use us as we preach. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I started this morning on this. I know we've been preaching through grief, growing in grief on Sunday nights, but man, the Lord just didn't let me get done with this morning, really pressed on my heart to finish it tonight. So I want to be obedient to Him, but we began looking at this thought of who's going to take up the mantle, and we began talking about that mantle. We talked about how this is not always by death that a mantle is dropped, and if you didn't hear all of that, go back and catch up tomorrow on your way home tonight. If you was in other places working today, it'll all make sense to you. I said this as we went through it this morning. I said along with the mantle comes identification, but not only identification, but expectation. In other words, whenever you pick up the mantle, you are identifying yourself with something, and they are expecting something out of you. If I could explain it, I would explain it this way tonight. If you're around Pilot Mountain tonight and you have a car wreck, there's probably going to be a truck that shows up, and it's going to say Pilot Mountain or Pilot Knob or Pilot something or the rescue squad on the side of it, and Brother Elijah will more than likely be driving that vehicle. When he pulls up with the lights on and the siren blaring, Brother Stan, he has just identified himself as an emergency service worker. He's just identified himself as somebody that is trained to help you in your time of need. When he gets out of that vehicle, Brother Brian, they are going to expect him to do something. Why? Because he has identified himself with something. When you say that you're going to pick up a mantle tonight, you're not only identifying yourself, there is expectations that come along with that. When Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah and put that on, he identified with the man of God, but they expected the same out of him as the one that went before him. So there is identification and there is expectation when we look at it. We talked about this morning. We talked about how picking up the mantle and in the service of God, it's not about a position, but it's about a passion. It's not about a position, but it's about a passion. Can I tell you something tonight? If the only thing that I'm interested in tonight is the title of being a pastor, the position of that, you hear me and hear me well, I'll not be around very long, amen, because times will come that are tough. There'll be dry times. There's different seasons that comes. But if there is a passion in your heart for what you're doing, let come what may, let the wind blow, let the storm come, let the rain fall, and you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself still in the same place, serving the same God, doing the same thing. Amen. It's about a passion for it. If the only reason that you do what you do is just to get a title, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons, man. We don't serve God for a position. We serve God out of a passion, out of a love to Him, out of a realizing where we was and where we're at today and what God has done for us. I don't serve Him for you. I don't preach for you. Hear me tonight. I'm not going to sing for you. But when I look at God and how good God is and how good God's been to me and how He's blessed me, then it causes me to have a passion for what I do. It's about a passion, not a position. If it's just about a position, I've seen this in 18 years of pastoring. If it's just about a position, you won't be around very long. Amen. You'll come and go. The wind will blow and blow you somewhere else. But if it's about a passion, amen. And what did he say? And if some have compassion, making the difference. If it's about a passion tonight. So we talked about this. We went back to 1 Kings 19. I've got to hurry. And in chapter number 19, let's go back there and we're going to pick up there. 1 Kings chapter number 19, we find Elisha's working in the field. We find Elisha's just busy doing what he does. And can I tell you what? That's usually the people God uses. I'll never forget Daddy said this. Whenever I started pastoring, he said this, don't never give the position to the person that asked for it. I'll never forget him telling me that. Don't ever give the position to the person that asked for it because they're not interested in having it for the right reason. Elisha, when we get to chapter number 19 of 1 Kings, he's just busy working in the field. He's doing what he knows how to do. He's being faithful to that. Can I just say it this way? He's blooming where he's planted. He's blooming where he's planted. Let me tell you what you need to do tonight, church. Bloom where you're planted. You'll never bloom nowhere else if you won't bloom where you're planted. Amen? You say, well, preacher, if I go over here, I may can do a little more. If you're not going to do nothing here, you're not going to do nothing over there either, man. Just bloom where you're planted. And here is Elisha, man. He's in the field. He's working. He's got his place. He's serving. He's just doing what he knows to do. All of a sudden, the man of God passes by him at the closing of chapter number 19, sees something in him, and you know what Elijah does? He casts his mantle on him in verse number 20, as we looked at this morning. And here's what Elisha says in verse number 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? You know what he's doing? He's trying to talk him out of it. I'll never forget, and I'm not going to rush tonight. I'm just going to preach till I get done. If you was at the baseball game, you wouldn't be hurrying to get out. You say, well, they don't have hot dogs here. Well, you should have eaten one before you came, all right? But I'll never forget whenever I thought the Lord was calling me to preach, I sat down and said something to my daddy about it. And here's what my daddy said. He said, I'll just forget about it and walked off. And Brother Elijah, I thought, well, that's good counsel. I'm trying to serve the Lord and you tell me forget about it. Are you with me? I talked to him again. I said, man, the Lord's calling me to preach. And he said, if you can do anything else, do it. And you know what Elisha is hearing from Elijah right now? If there's anything else you can do, then go do it. Are you with me? But what does he do? Number one, to pick up a mantle, there has to be surrender. There has to be surrender, man. He says, I'm leaving my father and my mother, and I'm going with you. Number one, there has to be surrender. Have we surrendered ourselves to him? Number two, here's where we'll pick up at tonight. Number two, not only is there surrender, but number two, the Bible said in verse 21 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings, and he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled up their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, watch this, and ministered unto him. If you're going to pick up a mantle and you're going to serve the Lord, number one, there has to be surrender. But what does he do in verse number 21? The Bible said this, he took a yoke of oxen and slew them. There has to be sacrifice. There has to be sacrifice. Miss Leslie and the girls and I, and the girls, Madeline was asleep this afternoon. She had to go to work tonight, but me and Miss Leslie and Olivia and Victoria, we just got out today for a little while and gommed around and drunk us a cup of coffee and rode through the country over through Devotion and had just a good time, man. Miss Leslie had so much fun, she went to sleep. But the rest of us was having a ball. And Miss Leslie said, we was talking about the message, and I asked Olivia, I said, what do you think point number two is? She said, well, I don't know. I said, well, what was point number one? She didn't know that either. And then Victoria spoke up and said, surrender. I said, that's right. Miss Leslie said, I bet it's sacrifice. Because when you read that verse, that's what he does. He goes back and he sacrifices that yoke of oxen. And I said, you're right. And Miss Leslie said this. She was preaching real good. And she preached herself to sleep. I've never done that, I don't think. I preach a lot of other people to sleep, but she said this. She said, you know, honey, she said, surrendering is actually the easy part. But when it comes to sacrifice, that's when many fall off the wagon, if you want to look at it that way. You see, it is a sacrifice to serve God. The only way that he was ever going to minister to Elijah, that's who he was. God gave Elisha to Elijah to train, and Elisha ends up taking up the mantle. But the only way he ever done that, he had to surrender, and then he had to sacrifice some things. He had to sacrifice some things. You remember me saying this morning, and I'll say it again and move on. But that's his livelihood, man. That's the way that Elisha makes his living. I don't know the age of his parents, but maybe he's even doing it to help his parents out. And Elisha goes back and says, hey, look, I'm going after the man of God. And can I just say it this way? Now, I understand there was a lot of oxen there. But just listen to me for a minute. I don't think I'm out of context. He was saying this, the life that I once had, I'm sacrificing that. I've given it all to the Lord. Elijah, I want you to know, man, I'm all in. I'm not just giving a little bit. I'm not just going to come Sunday morning. I'm not just going to come Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'm just not going to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I want you to know that you've got a prayer warrior in me. You've got somebody you can count on. I'm sacrificing. I'm letting you know I'm all in. Serving God will cost you something. Serving God will cost you something. You will have to sacrifice some things. Can I just say this to you tonight? I'm going to move on, but can I say this to you tonight? Sometimes it'll cost you some of your family. Not everybody's going to be excited about you serving the Lord. It may cost you your present comfort. I'm going to use a little bit of this. I'm not going into the whole story because the majority of you heard it when Brother Elijah got up and rebuked me the night we put him in as our youth leader. And he got to talking about some of the things that he was going through, and he looked over at the preacher. He did look over at the preacher. It was me. And he said, when we sat down and talked, he told me what he'd been praying for, and I realized the reason I was going through what I was going through is because he'd been praying for it. I didn't pray for all of that. I just prayed that the Lord would let him come. You know what Brother Elijah had to do, and I'm not going to go into all the depths. He didn't go into all the depths that night. There had to be some sacrifice. Some of you young people, hear me tonight. You see, and I'm not building nobody up. I'm just going to give honor where honor's due for a minute. You see the Lord's hand in Brother Elijah's life. You see the Lord's hand in Miss Madison's life. You see what God's using them to do, and you think, man, I would like to have that. Are you willing to pay the sacrifice? I remember years ago, I met John David Dorsey in Robbinsville, North Carolina. It's the first time I ever heard him preach anywhere. He got up, preached the house down. I mean, just power of God on him. Of course, in 2016, we had that five-week revival, over 200 saved, and boy, God done a work, at not only in our area, but in our church personally, in my life. I'll never forget that meeting. I'll never get over what God done for me during that time. And the power of God was on. And I'll never forget, before 2016, we had been buddies for a while, and we sat down one day and talked. Brother John gave me his testimony. And it was, he might get upset with me, but don't tell him. If he watches this, he'll get over it, okay? But I was talking to him, Brother Lloyd, about the touch of God that was on his life. Now, it seemed that every time he got up to preach, man, the power of God just rested on him. And he said this, he said, preacher, he said, a lot of people want the power of God without the sacrifices that's been made to have the power of God. And I looked at him and I said, you're right, Brother Dorsey. I said, I agree with you. And he went on, and you that has heard him preach a little bit of his testimony knows this. That Brother John, Miss Rebecca, is his second wife. His first wife's in heaven. He fulfilled his vow to her. Somebody give me an amen right there. He was favored to her till death do him part. He was in the car accident holding her in his hands when she died in that car accident. He said, people want the power of God, but they don't want to sacrifice to have the power of God. And he said, I tell this to you in confidence. The reason the power of God's been on me, son, is because of what I've went through in my life. I want you to hear me tonight. If we're interested in the power of God, and we're interested in the touch of God on us, it may cost us something, but are we willing to pay the price Elisha says, man, there's Elijah. There's the man of God. I've heard what God's done in his life. Boy, I want what he's got. I want the touch of God on my life. And he made a sacrifice to have it. Number one, it takes surrender. Number two, it takes sacrifice. Number three tonight, go with me to chapter number 2 of 2 Kings again. We'll conclude here tonight. It's 6:55. Give me about 35 more minutes. I know I'm going to try not to preach that long, but man, I'm just going to be obedient to the Lord, okay? I think sometimes we rush these things. It takes sacrifice. It takes surrender, but watch this. 2 Kings chapter number 2, and I want you to look in verse number 2. Go back to verse number 1. I'm sorry, Miss Cassie. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, know what happens in verse number 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. If you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline this. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Go to verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, if you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline this, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Look in verse number 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, if you underline in your Bible, I invite you to underline this, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. If you're going to pick up the mantle, hear me tonight, it's going to take some stickability. It's something, if I could use a C word on that, I would say this, commitment. Boy, it's getting quiet. Commitment. It's going to involve stickability. You know what Elijah done? Elijah, I believe Brother Matt is just testing him a little bit. Are you really serious about this thing? Are you really willing to go all the way with me? He says this, I'm going down here, you wait right here. But you know what Elisha says? No, man, I know what happens when you go somewhere, so I'm going with you. He comes back to him again. He says, hey, look, I'm going down here. I'm going to go down to Jericho, and you wait right here until I get back. And you know what he says? Oh, no, man, I'm not waiting right here. I know what happens when you go somewhere. And he comes to him again, and he says, hey, look, I'm going over here. You just wait right here. And he says, oh, no, man, I know what happens when you go somewhere. I'm going with you. You know what he said? He says this, I've surrendered. I've sacrificed, and now you can count on me. I'm going with you, man. There was some stickability to it. Leslie and I, the other day, was talking. And we was talking about a young couple. And here's what I said. I said, you know, Miss Leslie, it would be amazing what God would do with their life if they would just sell out, lock, stock, and barrel, and get committed. Is everybody here? Is everybody awake? Isn't the Lord good to us? You glad to be saved? Say amen. Committed. Stickability. Brother Elijah, he said, no, man, I've seen what God's doing with you. I've seen the power of God rest on you, man. I'm just letting you know, I'm going with you, man. I'm not turning back. Let come what may. Let others say what they want to. I've seen God's hand on the man of God. I'm going with him. You can count on me. You don't have to worry about me being somewhere else. Elijah, I'll be there. Boy, may God give us some people today that'll not only surrender and that'll not only sacrifice a little bit, but they'll say, by the help of God and by the grace of God, until the Lord comes back or he calls me home. Preacher, I want you to know you can count on me. I'll be there. I've got you back. Let's go do something for God. Let's serve God. I've seen God bless. I've seen God move. I'm all in, man. Let's go. That stickability. I want you to see something. He says this. He asked him in verse number 9. He asked him in verse number 9, and I'm going to come back to verse number 9 in just a minute. He said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of thy spirit. Didn't say nothing about his opportunities to preach. Didn't say nothing about having twice as many in his church. Didn't say nothing about having twice as many in his choir or in his Sunday school class. No, he saw something in his spirit. So I want a double portion of thy spirit. Verse number 10, Elijah says, okay, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up, you're going to get that. I want you to see something. Look in verse number 11. It came to pass as they still went on and talked. Did you catch something? As they. Guess where Elisha's at? He's still right by Elijah. As they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. Can I just tell you something? Whenever it came time for Elijah to be called away and Elisha to step out on the scene and do something, you know where Elisha was at? He was right by Elijah's hand. Because if he was going to get what he was asking for, he was going to have to remain faithful. So you can follow him all throughout from 1 Kings chapter number 19 to 2 Kings chapter number 2. And you know what he's doing? He's standing right there beside of him. He's saying, you know what, man? I'm right here with you. And Elijah says, the only way you're going to ever get a double portion of my spirit is when I die, if you're there with me. And guess what? He was right there beside of him. Stickability, man. Stickability. Stickability. What's it going to cause you? What's it going to take to cause you to quit? You can determine the caliber of a Christian by what it takes to make them quit. There's just stickability. Watch this. I'm about done. And Miss Rachel, I seen your comment. Verse number 9, 2 Kings 2. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Can I tell you what it's going to take if you're going to pick up the mantle? It's going to take surrender. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take stickability. But you got to have this one. It's going to take seeking the power of God in your life. You say, preacher, I can't teach a Sunday school class. You're right. You say, preacher, there's no way I could stand up and preach. You're the one God's looking for. You're the one God's looking for. I remember during that 2016 revival, I remember during that time, there was a boy that went to Northwood, and he still does. He's faithful as clockwork. His name is Jonah Vito. Some of y'all may remember Jonah during that meeting. Jonah, if he stood in front of you and talked to you just standing normally talking, Jonah has a speech impediment. I'm not making fun of him by no means. I'm just telling you the truth. He stutters bad. And I'll never forget God called him to preach during that meeting. God called him to preach. And that night, we got to singing, "I'm Not Going to Hell," right after God called him to preach. Jonah was standing in the middle of that great big platform with probably 150 young people around him. There was probably 1,500, 1,800 people there that night underneath the tent and all around the outside of that tent. And I'll never forget, man, they stopped singing that song and Jonah cut loose. He said, "I'm going to tell you right now, friend, the problem is we forgot that God saved us from hell. We forgot what God's delivered us from." And I'm telling you, for about 7 or 8 minutes, he preached a power of God down in that place. They shouted. They run the aisle. He never stuttered the first time. You want me to tell you what happened? He come to a place. Oh, would somebody hear the preacher? He come to a place where he surrendered, and he sought the power of God, and he said, "I'm going to stick with it," and he sacrificed some things, and you know what happened that night in his life? The power of God rested on him. If you're going to take up the mantle, you're going to have the power of God in your life. You're going to have to seek him. You're going to have to beg him. We can't preach alone. We can't sing alone. We can't play an instrument alone. We can't teach alone. We've got to have God. We've got to have the power of God. A talent without a touch is no good. I'd rather hear somebody sing that can't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket and know what God's done for them and have the power of God on them. Church, if we're going to keep going, if God's going to keep blessing, we've got to have him. Talk of seeking of the power of God. Man, he didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing about, "I want to do more miracles." But when you study it out, he performed exactly twice as many as Elijah did. What about that? Why? Because he was seeking the right things. Number 5, come start playing. Man, we got to get a hold of number 4. If we don't have him, we got to have him. What good, hear me, church, what good is a beautiful sanctuary without him? What good is beautiful instruments without him? What good is great musicians? And we've got the best, man. We've got the best. Man, that youth choir tonight, Miss Lisa playing and Miss Tanya playing and the leaders, we've got the best. We've got the best sound system that we can buy. We've got the best speakers. Are you hearing me? We've got comfortable seats. We've got air conditioning. We've got people. And we're gaining more all the time. But what good is it, church? What good is it if we don't have him? If the power of God's not on this thing? Oh, I'd rather go home and never preach again if I've got to preach without his power. I never walk in church again if I had to go without his power. I never teach again if I had to teach without his power. Oh, but he said, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We can have the power of God. We can have the presence of God. We can have revival today if we'll get serious and seek it. Oh, yeah. Watch this. I'm done. Verse number 12 through verse 14. Elisha picks up that mantle. He walks up to the Jordan. He's got that mantle in his hand. And he don't... Somebody needs to hear me right here. He don't do anything different than the man of God that taught him. He walks up to that Jordan and he smites that river. You know what happened? It parts back. In other words, the power of God that was on Elijah is now on Elisha. You see, there's satisfaction in picking up the mantle. Can I just say that again? There's satisfaction in it. I thought about this. Last Sunday night, I went home. We got ready to eat a bite. I done took my suit off and had my lounging clothes on. And Brother Elijah called about them youngins wanting to get saved. Then Brother Bailey texted, "What's Elijah's number?" And I thought, well, Lord, revivals broke out. Somebody tell me where we're meeting at. Y'all with me? And Brother Elijah called me, and he was headed over there, him and Miss Maddie. And they sent me that picture, them two youngins that got saved. Here's exactly what I thought about. How satisfying the service of God is. Some of you young people has heard Miss Madison's testimony about coming here. I'm not making fun of her. I'm not pointing her out. I'm just being honest. Now, when we're in private, I still give her a hard time about it. But you've heard her testimony about coming here. And I thought, as they posted a picture of Miss Addie getting saved the other day. Say, "Preacher, did it bother you and Miss Leslie that Miss Maddie was the one that went to the altar?" No, I was the one that told Miss Maddie to come to the altar. Amen. I want you to get in on it too, praise God. And I thought, Miss Maddie, Miss Madison, I'm sorry, I call you Maddie when we just shooting a bull. But Miss Madison, I thought, how satisfied it is serving the Lord. Are you hearing me? How satisfying it is serving the Lord. It really is the greatest life that I've ever lived and that I ever will live in serving the Lord. Then I thought about this. Brother Elijah sent that picture, and I thought about this. I bet his mentor is looking over the portals of glory going, "Attaboy, I'm proud of you." His grandpa that's outrun him in this race that pastored for years, I bet he's looking over the portals of glory and grandma going, "That's my grandboy right there." You may disagree with me. I think they can see spiritual things. I don't think they can see little Johnny running a football, but I think they can see spiritual things. Maybe she looked over. Grandma looked over at Grandpa and said, "Boy, ain't you glad we just stayed with it? Ain't you glad we just remained faithful? That's fruit right there, baby. Abounding to our account." Boy, you want to talk about something satisfying? You find the will of God. You get in the will of God. You determine by the grace of God, you're not getting out of the will of God. There ain't nobody going to push you out of it. There ain't nobody going to run you out of it. You're staying. Watch God start working through your life and the power of God start. Well, I'm telling you, it'll do two things for you: sleep. It'll keep you awake and it'll make you sleep. So what do you mean by that? Nights like that will keep you awake. Nights like tonight, when even though you've dealt with things, you know you've obeyed God, you'll go home and go to sleep. You may not, but I will. It's satisfying. I ask you this question. Who's going to pick up the mantle? We never know when one's going to fall. The process of Elisha picking up Elijah's mantle, I can probably take a Schofield and look at the timeline and give you a timeline of it, how long it probably was. I'm not going to take time to do that. But I do know this, it wasn't overnight. It wasn't overnight. You see, he's asking for it before he ever got it. Anybody hear what I just said? He's asking for it before he ever got it. He's begging God for something before he ever got it. So in closing, when that mantle falls, are you going to be in a place to pick it up?